All right, well, let's go ahead and get started. We may have other people that join along the way, but we want to get started in respect for the people that are already here. And if everyone would, I would appreciate it if you'd join me in an opening prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to get together today as fellow Deer Springs Ranch lot owners and family and friends. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would guide us, guide our hearts, our minds, and our discussion as we work together as friends to try to make Deer Springs Ranch everything that we all want it to be for ourselves, our family, and our friends for many decades to come. We thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness, for your grace, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for everybody who has joined us. And Jennifer, if you see anybody pop up that you need to get clarification on, just feel free to jump in and ask. And for those of you who have not participated in Zoom meetings in the past, we have a couple of guidelines that we'd like to have you follow. Number one, this meeting is being recorded, and at the end of the meeting, the notes will be transcribed into written form. So whenever you're making comments, if you could, please announce your name at the beginning of the comment. That makes it a lot easier to figure out who's saying what when we're doing the transcription after the fact. And then secondly, there is a chat function that is available for everyone to use. So you don't have to make a verbal comment. If you have something, a question to ask or something to add to the conversation, you can do that simply by clicking on that chat button at the bottom. And you can either send a message to everyone in the meeting or to an individual. And once that message pops up, hopefully someone will respond. But if you don't get a response, then feel free to, ask that question verbally. And with that, let's get started. And first, we're going to have the presentation and approval of our December meeting minutes from Cindy Olson. Cindy, take it away.
There I am. The minutes of the meeting, the last meeting, were sent out to board members for review. I did not receive any requests for updates or adjustments, so I propose that we accept the minutes of the last meeting as is.
I will motion that we approve them as is as well. I'm not sure if we need a second on that. Somebody go ahead and second it.
I'll second.
Thank you. And by the way, the meeting minutes are approved as is. And as I said to Cindy earlier this morning, she did an outstanding job of taking all of the information from that transcription, which can be gobbledygook. And she did a great job of boiling that down to only the essential information and comments. So Cindy did a great job on those meeting minutes. So thank you again, Cindy, on behalf of everyone.
You're welcome.
Okay, and next we're going to go to Mr. Joe Bose for the treasurer report. Take it away, Joe.
Okay, as far as the checking, as of last night with the bank, we got $57,082. In the savings, we got $61,224. And in the special savings, we got $4,272. That's where we sit as far as the money goes. Other than that, we can get the rest of it from Jennifer when she goes to her report.
Okay, now that I'm unmuted, Does anyone have any questions for Joe before we move on? All right. Thank you very much, Joe. And now we're going to move to the next item on the agenda, which is Jennifer. So take it away, Jennifer.
Okay. We have already halfway through the month, about 24% of our assessment fees for 2022 received already, which is awesome. We're looking to receive all of the fees by the end of this month to replenish our checking account so that we have operating income for 2022, which is a nice thing about an owner association. We all have a responsibility to get our fees paid and support the income and expenses of the ranch. So I'm really happy to see that we've got at least 25% received this far. To just give you a high level of our budget versus actual for last year, we did discuss this in great detail, and we do have a line item, so I'm not going to get into it significantly, but we did end up right about even, about a $2,000 net income in the positive versus what we brought in income for 2021, and we're looking at maintaining slightly more than that going into 2022. But we'll get into the details when we talk about our budget line item. And we are still working on the launch of the new website. with regard to the website, it's going to be more functional than our current website. It's going to be easier to use. It's actually a base product that was designed to manage HOAs. So it's got all of the functionality that we would expect as an owner association, things like cabin reservations, things like events calendars, things like communications and inquiries, like a chat function. It's going to be bright and colorful and easy to use. It's going to have a photo gallery. It's going to have a news feed. We're going to recognize a lot of the things that we've asked for over the past year or so embedded in this software. And the website will be much more functional and much more easy to use and much more communicative for the members. And we're looking to have that go live sometime in February, a little bit of setup occurring in the background. And those are the big rocks going on in the office right now.
Thank you for that, Jennifer. I appreciate that. One thing. Well, first of all, before we go on, does anyone have any questions for Jennifer about anything having to do with the office operations? No, sounds like nobody has any questions. That's great. We'll be hearing from Jennifer again in a few minutes. But for now, the one thing that I wanted to add that I think fits into the office report category is the fact that we have been looking and talking about the possibility of having options for having packages delivered to owners in CNAB. And I know Jeff and Tina and Brent and others have also been looking at the possibility of having a U.S. Postal Service mailbox installed on Johnson Canyon, about 9 miles up the canyon. So we're looking at trying to improve the ability of owners to get United States mail and also to get packages delivered when they're up at the ranch. And for packages, it's not just United States, you know, Postal Service. It would also be potentially FedEx and Amazon and, you know, DHL or UPS, anybody else. So the reason I wanted to bring this up is simply to let people know that we are talking about it and to kind of at a very high level, just get an idea of how many owners would be interested in that kind of a service. Obviously, there would be a fee for the United States Postal Service box. You know, there's going to be a cost to put the box in. Once it's in, then, you know, there really isn't any maintenance per se. But for the package delivery option for receiving packages from FedEx and UPS, et cetera, that would be an ongoing fee, not a lot, but, you know, just like renting a post office box where you can have packages delivered, it would simply make it a lot easier for somebody to be able to order something online or elsewhere and have it shipped to a box that you could have access to in Canap. So I just am curious to know how many people would be interested in that. And Jennifer, I don't know if that's something that we can, you know, kind of get a thumbs up on right now, or if it's, is there a way that you would like to have people notify you of their interest? But I think it's important for us to get just kind of a general idea of how many people would be willing to pay for a package delivery service if it was available.
I think I'll put that in my next Member Matters email, and I'll have people just respond. I'll do a SurveyMonkey link or something.
Okay, that sounds good. And just so everybody knows, there are one of the considerations is, and I know this is true for me as well. I mean, if I'm going to be up at the ranch for a couple of months, you know, I have no problem driving into Kanab, but, you know, so I don't have any problem having a package delivery box in Kanab. If I can go in and pick up a package, you know, every once in a while, I think that makes perfect sense. So if you are interested, then you can just reply to Jennifer. And just be aware that we are looking at, you know, the different options that might be available and what the associated costs would be. Okay, and then, well, actually, before we move on, Brent, I don't know if Brent is on or not, but Jeff, do you have, Jeff, I know you're there. Can you give us any kind of an update on the United States Postal Service possibility?
Not really. As far as I know, we have not heard anything back from the county guy that Brent was talking to.
Okay.
There's
an argument between the county and the Postal Service whether we're Alton or Kanab, and if we're Alton, the Kanab Post Office will not deliver to us. Where we want the box to be is Kanab, they don't care. Their changes might be altered. So it's a big fight. We did receive the box, the mailbox, but we returned it just in case. And when everything settles, if we get approved, then we'll just go ahead and reorder it.
Understood. Yeah, I know Brent was trying to follow up with the appropriate governmental folks to try to figure out, you know, are we Kanab or are we Alton? So I was aware that there was some debate about which actual, you know, postal region should be servicing the ranch. Obviously, it makes sense to everybody on this call that, you know, it should be Kanab because we all go through Kanab. We don't go to Alton. But unfortunately, we're dealing with governmental agencies who are responsible for making that decision. So we'll continue to follow up on that. And our hope is to install mailboxes, you know, about 9 miles up Johnson Canyon that people who want to participate in, you know, can simply, you know, pay a fee, get a box, and then have access to United States postal mail in the middle of Johnson Canyon as opposed to having to go all the way into Kanab. So
our big questions were whether we basically go toe-to-toe with all those entities, because there's a lot of mixed documentation out here that some stuff says Kanab and some stuff says Alton. You know, like they know where we live, and my driver's license says it's Kanab. My house that we built, they listed it as Kanab, but now we've found other things that say it's Alton, and our property deed doesn't say. It says Kane County, but some people's says Alton.
It might be a so issue it, if yeah. they make us change everything to Alton instead of Kanab.
Yeah, our question is where do we, as a community, go toe-to-toe and force them to figure it out one way or the other, whether that be it changes us everything to Alton or not, or just let sleeping dogs lie, if you will. So, but we can't by ourselves make that determination for everybody. We can go toe-to-toe with them on our own, but we can't speak for everybody else out here.
No, and that's why I wanted to bring it up, because we are following up on it on behalf of all of the owners at the ranch. And like I said, I think the appropriate place for us to be serviced out of would be Kanab. So I don't want to create any animosity with any governmental agencies. I just want to try to work with them cooperatively and hopefully end up with the right answer, the right solution. So we'll keep following up on that as a board on behalf of all of the owners, and we'll see where it goes. Because ultimately, it's a benefit for everybody. Go ahead, Kurt.
I just reached out to Mariah real quick because she gave me a Kanab address for the headquarters. But she said that because DSR is in the county and not a municipality, all control addresses out are tied to Alton. I don't know why or where that occurred, but that's what title company records allocate. So we're actually allocated to
Alton,
according to the county.
Right, and that's where the issue lies. If the postmaster says that DSR is Alton, they will not deliver for us. Period. No matter where the mailbox is installed.
Yeah, we don't need to talk any more about it today, but I just wanted to let everybody know that we're working on it, that there is some debate with the governmental agencies in terms of who services us. I mean, it would seem very straightforward, like it should be Kanab, but unfortunately that's not the case. So we're going to continue working on that and hopefully be able to get, a postal box set up in Johnson Canyon. If not, obviously everybody has the option of renting a post office box if they want to in Kanab at the post office. But it would be a whole lot more convenient if we could have it delivered to Johnson Canyon. Okay, moving on to the next item. It is property management report from Mr. Jacobson. Take it away, Kurt.
Okay, so it's been, got a lot of snow here in December. Just to let everybody know now, the roads are an absolute mess at headquarters, and a lot of the side roads. Scunapah has dried out quite a bit and is pretty passable, but like headquarters is just ankle deep mud everywhere. The grader we have been working on went down. We're thinking it's probably maintenance issues. Larry and I, and then Larry ultimately got it towed down to Broad Hollow, and then sometime this next week he'll get it up to headquarters where we can actually crawl under it in the mud and take a look at it. Cabin 7 had a water leak, the filter broke, and the downstairs floor is tearing it out right now, and we'll be replacing it. That should be done next week. Cabin 4 renovation got stalled by the snow. Larry did plow me up a way to cabin 4 where I could climb through the snow and get my tools out of there so we can continue working in the lower cabins. And the brush hogging and in the Broad Hollow area is still on the schedule to be done, but it's probably going to be in about 2 weeks that we do it, so that'll be nice and cleaned up in the spring when everybody returns to the ranch. And that's about all I have today.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. Anybody have any questions for Kurt regarding things that are going on at the ranch, at headquarters, or elsewhere? And then, Kurt, I'm assuming that you will, as soon as the roads are, you know, in better condition, you'll kind of keep everybody posted as much as you can in terms of the condition of the roads. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've kind of been using the Facebook page, and Jeff and Tina have also been putting in road conditions on there. We're all just kind of inputting what our areas are like, and it's working out pretty good.
Great. I do want to just add one more question slash comment, and that is, it was interesting to me when we were looking at information on the Facebook page that there wasn't a whole lot of snow down at headquarters. At the same time, there was, I think it was 23 inches up in Slide. And especially for the benefit of the new people, I thought that was very interesting that, you know, there might have only been, you know, 3 or 4 inches down at the lower ranch, but there was over 2 feet up, you know, Slide Canyon. And, is that something you deal with on a regular basis?
Well, normally headquarters doesn't get as much snow, but we did get up to about 14 inches.
Got it. So I just, especially for the newer people, it's interesting to note that, you know, it might not be too bad on Scootumpaw getting out there, but then when you get up to the upper roads and the upper ranch, it could be a whole lot different.
Yeah, we're only about 3 miles from headquarters, and we've gotten about 3 feet accumulative so far.
Yeah.
A lot of micro tons.
Well, every year is different, so we'll just have to wait. We love the snow because it brings the water to the water table. So. All right, let's move on, and next we're going back to Jennifer for item number 6, review of 2021 statistics and our 22 budget.
Okay, so where statistics are concerned, that's always a fun place to start because it gives you an idea of how our ranch is used, how we're working together to get things done and sharing all the resources. Our cabin usage by member. In 2021, we had 91 individual owners use cabins for varying number of nights, and that is the second highest in the last 5 years. The highest year was in 2018, where we had 92 individual owners using cabins. And in previous years, it's been anywhere from 63 on up to 81. So we've got about a third of our membership that regularly use the cabins, either themselves or by hosting guests using their days. And that's awesome. 1 out of 3 lot owners are using the cabins. It helps us understand why we make the investments in keeping the cabins as improved as they can possibly be, and the pattern that we are renovating them on. water hauling contracts are increasing year over year. Again, as we have more members, more water is used. So in 2021, we had 36 members that had water hauling contracts in place. That was higher than 2020 by 5. There were 31 in 2020. So again, it's a pattern of usage that's increasing, something that we just need to be mindful of. We also have a decreasing pattern of members who go overdue on their dues. And that's a really important message because we as owners and members of the owner association have a responsibility to get our dues paid because that's what keeps the ranch moving. So people are understanding that balance between being an owner, paying those dues, and then having the benefits that those dues provide to us as members. So that makes me really happy to see, and I know it makes the board happy as well. The most incredible statistic that I have to report is the number of lot transfers, and you've seen it in the member matters emails that I've sent out. We had 72 lot changes in 2021. That's either a buying or a selling of a lot. And in previous years, the highest number was 25. So that's almost triple the number of lot transfers that we've ever had. That's awesome because it's bringing in new ownership. It's showing that the ranch is a very alive and dynamic environment. We've got individuals buying lots that are using the ranch as more than just a seasonal recreational destination. Mike has alluded to that in previous meetings. We need to start preparing for the usage of the ranch changing based on the face of the different lot owners and how they're planning to use the ranch. So of the 72 lot transfers, that represents 44 new lot owners. We said goodbye to 33, and we have 44 that are new. So it's really good to see a lot of the new faces on this call, too. I'm looking at the boxes and recognizing we've got three or four new members. So welcome to all of you as well. And then we get into cabin reservations. Cabin reservations for 2021, the two busiest months were June and July, which you would expect. And for 2022, already June and July are proving to be busy. June is already more booked for 2022 than it was in 2021 by about 20 nights. So we're almost at capacity for June. If you want a cabin for June, I recommend you get on the website and look and see what's available and make your reservation. There's not much still available. July is about 60% booked compared to what was booked in 2021. So June and July are booking up fast. But the ranch is beautiful anytime. It's beautiful in the spring. It's beautiful in the fall. We're seeing, as I mentioned, a lot of cabin owners, lot owners using our cabins, which is really wonderful to see. It just creates an energy at the ranch that is extra special. Any questions on the statistics? Okay. Then let's move into the budget. The good news is, as I mentioned already, we spent what we took in. So we are just about even on our budget, and that's always a good thing to report. Interestingly, that didn't mean that we spent what we planned in each category, nor does it mean we got income in the areas that we planned. It's just the magic of the ranch, how things just balance it out. And it's also good budget management. Our board does a very, very good job of being aware of everything they're spending in the categories that they're responsible for, and then behind the scenes, all the tracking that we do. So even though we were equal between expenses and income, we did have a couple of areas that I wanted to point out as far as the imbalance is concerned. We ended up with some heavy equipment repairs that we weren't necessarily budgeted for, and we also invested in a few things relating to the solar power that we're adding across the ranch. And our vehicles are getting older, and as our vehicles get older, they require more repairs. So those were the main areas that we ended up being over budget on. And then there was obviously the transition between Mariah and I. We continued to work together through the end of the year, and we will continue to work together, although Mariah more behind the scenes in 2022. So there was a little bit of extra budget in that area. And then the most exciting area, of course, as I mentioned, the cabin nights are up significantly. We budgeted for an average number of cabin nights and the revenue that produces. And we ended up 80% higher in 2021. So we ended up with almost double the cabin revenue that we had budgeted for. So luckily, or through good planning or forces in the universe, we ended up being able to cover our budget overages with the extra cabin usage. So for 2022, we did budget a slight increase in the income we're expecting for cabins, but we did it conservatively so that we don't start expecting more than we actually will get. And then we invested in one new asset in 2021, and that was our new GMC truck. So you see Kurt zooming around the ranch in the white GMC pickup truck with the diamond plate toolboxes on the back, and he's more efficient. And the truck is more dependable, so that was an investment that we had to make. So, any questions or comments on the budget? Wow, easy group today. Anything to add, Mike?
I was just going to say I thought I saw Brent's light go on there for a second. Brent, are you with us? Did you have anything to add?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
No, I don't have anything to add.
Lights are on, but nobody's home.
right, perfect. Okay, well, let's move on. And first of all, thank you, Jennifer, for that. Really appreciate it. And just as a final comment on that, the 2022 budget was approved by the board this morning. So we do have an approved budget for 2022. We have lots of special projects that we would like to complete in addition to all of the normal items. And, you know, hopefully we're going to be able to complete at least the majority of those special projects. But as good financial stewards, you know, we want to make sure that we have the money to cover them before we actually commit to it. So we will be having some additional conversations about special projects. But like Jennifer said, the good news is we were able to cover all of our normal expenses and even some unexpected expenses this last year. And we certainly should be able to do the exact same thing in 2022. All right, so moving on, number seven, Kathy Green, Vance. I know I can see you on there, Vance. Kathy Green had asked that we put on a line item on the meeting agenda today to talk about unsolicited projects. So, Vance and Kathy, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me speak. I'll keep it pretty brief because I know you had other things you needed to talk about. You know, we kind of had an issue with the Hunt agricultural plan with some of the things that were being done. And it just seems kind of a history with the ranch for projects that just kind of get dumped in our lap. I always kind of called them an unsolicited project. Sometimes they just sort of get off schedule, or we kind of have an issue with kind of keeping them on track. So I just kind of had a suggestion, and I'll let you guys decide where you want to go with it. If, as a board, you decide you want to take on what I would consider an unsolicited project, maybe we should kind of formalize it a little bit with some sort of a form or application that somebody has to complete before we even start a process of considering a project of that nature. So that it's kind of clear at the beginning that there's an expectation that it kind of needs to be run like anything that we would, you know, solicit for work, like an RFP or something like that. So, and I'd be more than happy to like write something up and submit it to you for you guys to use in such a fashion. But I was just, you know, as I watch things go with the ranch, it seems like we're really working to bring us up to date in different things with the website and how we organize and manage a ranch. It seemed like maybe it would be a good time to discuss doing that. So that was just my thought. Your comments or questions?
Well, first of all, I'd say thank you very much. And yes, it is an excellent thought. You know, we shouldn't have people just running around doing things at the ranch without the board approving it in advance and understanding how it might interact with or impact other things that are going on. So I'm sure everybody on the call would agree that that's definitely the right way to do it. I'm not aware of any unsolicited projects that have happened. The one thing I know that has been a concern specifically was with the project that's been kind of spearheaded by Brad Hunt and the Hunt Cattle Company in terms of doing improvements around the ranch. And there were, I don't know, 15 or 16 different line items that included, you know, brush hogging and erosion control and fencing and, you know, lots of other things that would allow us to get some participation and reimbursement from governmental agencies to try to make the money that Deer Springs Ranch spends go farther. So I know all of those projected plans were approved by the board in the past prior to the time when I was on the board. I also know that unfortunately some of those things that were on the plan just kind of happened without a lot of advance notice or, you know, so I understand that, you know, there was some frustration with things happening that, you know, people just showing up or just doing things that were not properly announced. And I think it's critical that, you know, whatever the projects are, You know, just like we did with the fire abatement project that we embarked on with Kane County, that, you know, all of the members are informed of what the plans are, what the timing is, and what they should expect. Because, you know, anytime people are on the ranch doing major projects, it impacts traffic flow. It could potentially impact, you know, other things that are important to the owners. And so I agree with you, Kathy, that, you know, what you're suggesting is 100% on target. And if anybody is ever aware of, you know, people out at the ranch doing things that is a surprise to them and wasn't previously announced, make sure somebody on the board is made aware of it so we can follow up.
Okay. Well, that's pretty much all I had to say. So I'll, I had a little form I was going to write up and I'll send it to you later and you guys can decide if you want to use it or toss it. But I just thought it just might, it seems like we're trying to kind of up our game as a ranch and association moving forward. So it's personally from my standpoint really nice to see. I think it's been a long time in coming. So hopefully we can kind of continue with that. And I just wanted to make it just a little more formal so that everybody understands that you can't just be running around doing whatever anymore. Those days are kind of gone. We've got, like Jennifer was saying, we have a lot of new people on the ranch now, and some people are going to be there, you know, maybe more full time. And so you can't just kind of do things on the fly anymore, because it will impact probably somebody else maybe you didn't think about because things are changing. So that was my comment. So thank you for your time.
Okay, absolutely. And then Jennifer, I just saw the there's a comment from, I think it's from Jeff. Oh, mm-hmm. Did you already replied?
Yep, I am going to respond to that one in the messages because that's a more technical response.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, so moving on. Well, actually, before we do that, anybody else want to make any comments regarding what Kathy just said? I mean, obviously, I made a comment, but I want to give everybody else a chance to make a comment as well. Okay.
Hi, this is Bart.
Oh, go ahead, Bart.
Hey, sorry. No, I think that's a great idea. And although unsolicited projects shouldn't be happening, they do. I mean, you know, unplanned projects do come up. Those are the ones that we need to make sure are vetted properly. And if we have to realign funding, it needs to be done in a way that decision makers are included. I have some samples of kind of capital request projects that we used here and I've used in the past, so I can provide those as well if you're interested.
Got it. Thank you for that. Anybody else? Okay, so moving on, we're on to item number 8 on the agenda. And I'll go first. And actually, this is a kind of a perfect segue into what one of the things I wanted to talk about anyway. Number one, I want to make sure everybody knows that we have had some issues with the water systems at the lower water system, the approved water system at the ranch. You know, we even have problems that have, you know, gone back a couple of years that we're still working to try to resolve. So we will be having a water committee meeting immediately following this meeting to make sure that we are properly addressing any and all concerns that we have regarding the water systems, and also talking about upgrading and improving the water system that we have at the ranch wherever possible. One corollary to that, the water system that we currently have at the lower ranch is a state approved culinary water system, which means it's state approved as a source of drinking water. And as such, we have to continue to be in compliance with what the state requirements are to continue to be authorized. And so that's a big part of what we have to do as the water committee, is just make sure we're continuing to be in compliance, that we're doing all of the right things. And so we will be, you know, talking more about that as a water committee and making sure we're doing those things. Some of it is pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Other things are not quite as easy to figure out and fix. And Bart, thank you for your comments. And I know you're a water guy, so we may actually be asking you for some of your input and expertise on the water committee as well. So that's number one. Just to be aware that we are working on that. The goal, obviously, and just so everybody knows, you may not know this, but we're required to provide water samples from the lower water system from a variety of different sources to the state, and they do formal testing. We do formal testing on a monthly basis. The expectation, of course, is that we always pass those tests, that there nothing is found in those water samples of a negative nature. And every once in a while, we have a test that fails for whatever reason. Then we have to go back and try to figure out why it failed and then obviously fix the problem. Anytime there is a major problem with the water system, and this is, again, primarily for the newer folks on this call today, but if there ever was to be any kind of an issue with the water system that's supplying the cabins, then a notice would be posted in the cabin just to make you aware that, you know, the water, you know, should be boiled or whatever. We haven't had major problems, so I'm not saying this to scare anybody. I'm just saying it to make sure you're aware that, you know, it is a system like any other system that is subject to occasional problems. Maybe a line breaks, you know, maybe something else happens. So just be aware that, you know, we do have a committee that is committed to making sure we have, you know, 100% approved drinking water in all the cabins at all times. The second part of that, what I just said is really pertains mostly to the lower cabins. That's the approved system. In addition to that, we obviously have four cabins in the upper ranch, which are on a totally separate water system. The upper ranch cabins are not an approved water system. We do the same thing in terms of making sure that the water is safe. We do testing. But at some point in the future, as a ranch, we're going to want to do what is required to get that upper cabin water system certified by the state as well. So this is just a point of information for you to be aware of. Nothing that anybody needs to do at this point, but just wanted to share that information. Anybody have any questions about any of that that I just said on the water systems? Okay, the second thing I wanted to talk about, and again, this kind of is a follow-up on what Kathy just mentioned and what Bart added and what other people have said while I've been a member at Deer Springs Ranch. And a lot of people would tell you that they feel like a lot of the things that are done on the ranch are kind of not well planned out necessarily. You know, a lot of what we have been doing in the past was really responding to emergencies, putting out fires, you know, doing things that needed to be done, you know, kind of on a ad hoc basis. And a lot of people have expressed a desire to have a more formalized plan for the future. In other words, you know, what are we going to be doing to improve the ranch this year? What are we going to be doing next year? What are we going to be doing the following year? And personally, I think that's a smart thing for us to be doing at the ranch. Obviously, you can't go too far in the future. But I know, you know, looking now that I'm on the board and I have access to information, I do know that there is a 5-year plan that was put together by the board going back to the early 2000s, you know, like 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, that time frame. I'm not aware that anything like that exists today. If something like that does exist today, you know, I would appreciate somebody filling me in on that. But regardless, what I would like to do, what I'm proposing, and at this point, this is just an idea. So I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I am saying that this is something that I would like to try to make happen, is to try to put together a meeting at the ranch in the spring. Probably May would make sense. April is kind of dicey when it comes to the weather. May is a we can actually get snow in May at the ranch, so it's not 100% guaranteed, but May would be probably a better bet weather-wise. But what I would, what I'm proposing, what I would like to see is to have us have a meeting at the ranch. It would be, you know, kind of similar to the annual meeting that we have every September. Everybody's familiar with our annual meetings in September. Everybody gets together. You know, we have a big lunch. We vote for the new board members for the following year. We have some open discussion, and, you know, it's usually a great meeting, a great opportunity for owners to interact. The problem is that when we do that in September, somebody has a great idea. Well, in September, we're winding down. It's the end of the season. Yeah, September, October, November, you know, cabin usage is falling off. We're going into the winter months. What I'm proposing is that we have a meeting similar to that where we get everybody together at the ranch at the beginning of the season. And it would kind of have a dual function. In my mind, part of that meeting would be planning. You know, not just, you know, what do we need to do this year, but let's talk about what we would like to see, what we would like to do for the next 5 years. We have a lot of new people. I'm sure we have a lot of new ideas. And what I will say is I'm perfectly fine with the way the ranch is today. You know, other than improving what we already have, you know, making the roads better, you know, making the cabins better. Those are things that are, you know, kind of ongoing maintenance, you know, needs. But, you know, updating all of our cabins is a multi-year project, and we're kind of in the middle of it right now. So we do have a plan in terms of, you know, cabin renovation, but we don't necessarily have a plan for, you know, a lot of other things. So part of that meeting would be planning, just having everybody agree that, you know, we need to do, you know, certain things to make the, not only maintain the ranch, but hopefully make it better. For example, what can we do to make the roads better? You know, not just keep fixing them year after year after year, but what could we do to actually make the roads better? So that would be one of the things to talk about. The second part of that meeting would be to provide information for not only for new owners, but for existing owners too. When we get a new owner, just like me, when I was brand new to the ranch 5 years ago, you know, everybody has the same questions. You know, what do I need to do to build a cabin? What about water? You know, what are my options for getting water to my lot? What are my options for power? You know, I mean, if I wanted to do a solar system, what's the best kind of solar system? And of course, you know, what can you expect to, you know, this kind of stuff to cost? And so in my mind, one of the things I'd like to see, and we can do a lot of this, you know, hopefully on the new website, you know, we could post information on the website, but I think it would be nice to have a meeting that's strictly voluntary. People that want to participate can, people that don't want to participate obviously don't have to, but we could have a meeting to talk about, you know, what do we want to see Deer Springs look like in the future? And then at the same time, we could have, you know, kind of separate sessions. Maybe we have 1 hour where we talk about water options. We have another hour where we talk about solar and power options. And have that be an opportunity for a lot of the newer people to participate. And then in addition to that, if we do have projects that we want to have completed for this coming year, 2022, we can have lot owners who are available and willing to volunteer actually sign up for projects. My wife and I helped with the remodel of Cabin 7. We spent hours and hours and hours, and we loved every minute of it. At the beginning of last year, we had a project at the ranch to plant the garden. You know, I was out there, you know, with, what do you call that thing with the, you know, where the wheels spin underneath. You're basically tilling the soil, a tiller. So, you know, we were out there tilling the soil and digging holes and planting seeds. And the nice thing about having a meeting in the spring would be if we have, let's say we have half a dozen projects. You know, we're going to be working on this cabin. We're going to be working on the garden. We're going to be working on whatever. And we have a whole bunch of owners there. Then we could actually have people volunteer for different projects and, you know, kind of have a anticipated or projected timeline for those projects. So again, I apologize. I know I'm taking a lot of time here, but it's something I've been an owner for over 5 years. And it's something that I've never had or never participated in, but would love to. I mean, I'd love to be able to have a meeting where, you know, half a dozen owners that have been up there for 20, 30 years and already have water systems, you know, brand new people have the ability to ask questions and, you know, well, what about this? What about filtering? What about storage tanks? You know, what about, you know, 100 other things? So again, this is just an idea at this point, but, you know, we're already in January and, you know, April and May are right around the corner. So I just wanted to throw that out there as an idea of something that I would like to see us accomplish. So I will open it up for other people to make comments if you think it's a good idea, not a good idea. What do other people think? Crickets.
No, it's just me.
Hi, Cindy. Thank you.
No, those are great ideas and things that we've talked about in the past. One of the hopes that I have for the new website is that it would be a point of contact for projects, for posting information about projects that we have going. I do like you bringing it up. And kind of keeping it in the forefront. I will talk to you on the back end about getting those volunteer meetings, member meetings scheduled. And, you know, we tried to get a project going last year, and it was difficult to reach the owner. So we need to step up our game on the volunteer planning. So let's talk about that. I wholeheartedly agree with your sentiment there.
Thank you for that. Any other comments?
This is Kathy Green. I'll throw in with Cindy and say, yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I think moving forward, as you said, with the new members, and we're upping our game with getting a new website, and hopefully that will enable more communication across the board for everybody that's a member. I think it's a great idea. So I'll throw in with her and say that's a good idea too.
Thank you for that. Anybody else? Okay, let's move on. And next on the agenda is Mr. Kurt Jacobson. Kurt, anything you'd like to add?
Oh, sorry. I'm muted. No, I'm good. That was all I had. Can you hear me?
Yes, Kurt, we heard you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Cindy, anything you would like to add to for your final comments?
Nothing I can think of.
Can you give us an update on what we're looking at for work campers that are already scheduled?
I have no work camper scheduled at this point. The only RV pad we have is currently being used by Cindy and Kevin Poole, and I haven't heard yet if they are going to continue next season. to be work campers? I of course am hoping so. And I'm putting out feelers out in the full-time RV community. But I've got nothing else scheduled, and I hesitate to schedule anything without knowing when another RV pad will be available. So that's the status right now.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cindy, I have a question. Jeff Collins.
Yeah.
Other than people at the ranch or word of mouth from people at the ranch, what avenues would somebody look at to become a work camper? Is there a website, or is it, I haven't seen it on the DSR website, so how does anybody find out?
So there are websites for work campers, for people in the RV community. There are Facebook pages, and I try to monitor those. Right now, it's a little bit on hold until we have spaces for people. Because people will plan 6 months to a year in advance where they're going to be for the season. And if I don't have a place to put them, I don't want to have them cancel something else they might be doing, only to find out I don't have a spot for them. So right now, there are lots of ways to contact people and get them to sign up to be work campers. And I'm in neutral right now until I know there are pads to put people in. But I'm talking to people and getting some potential volunteers. If you have, other suggestions for me for broadening that net, that would be welcome.
Well, no, I was just curious because I was just messing around on the internet one day looking kind of at that community and couldn't find anything about us or anything. So I was curious if it's you that reaches out to them or people have to be in the know in order to reach out to you, or is it just out there in the world somewhere and I'm just missing it?
No, there's nothing posted right now. I haven't posted any positions right now because again, I don't have a position until I know, what RV pads are going to be available and when. I can't get people. I mean, it's not fair to them to have them commit. So right now I am not doing anything. I'm not sending any information out. There are general websites like I think it's workcampers.net. And several Facebook pages. There's the Escapees group that I'm part of that will allow me to post this on, using their platform. But no, you're not going to find anything right now because there is nothing out there right now.
I see. Okay.
Jeff, just so you know, my next door neighbor has parents. I don't know how old they are, but they're retired and they're either, mid to late 60s, maybe even 70s. I'm not sure, but they live in their fifth wheel and travel around. And last year I was just out talking to them in front of the house and they were on their way back to somewhere in, Minnesota or, somewhere where they were going to be, staying at and working at a really nice campground for 3 months. So like Cindy is saying, the people who live that lifestyle, they're looking for places where they can go and stay and enjoy that area. And they're willing to, it's kind of like, staying at a hostel. If you want to stay at a hostel, you get to stay there, very inexpensively. But you also have some chores that you have to do in order to subsidize that low cost. And it's the same thing with these people. And honestly, I'm sure Cindy would agree with this. Once we have those spots, fully ready to go, we're going to have no trouble filling those spots. you know, with all of the, you know, beauty and benefits we have at Deer Springs Ranch.
What's the right time to finish the RV site then?
Well, we're going to have two more done this spring, or as soon as Larry can get it done.
Well, my questions were basically, how does somebody who's not in that RV world figure out that it's actually an option?
That's not the target audience. You know, we're not trying to convince people to be work campers. We're trying to tap into the people who are already living that lifestyle. Cindy, is that accurate?
Yeah.
Yes, that is accurate. Yeah. That is our target audience.
Yeah, so they're already, you know, at least tens of thousands, if not 100,000 people who live that lifestyle already, and we simply want to make Deer Springs Ranch one of the top desirable destinations on their list. But that's a good question. Thanks for asking that, Jeff. Anybody else? Any other comments? Okay, moving on. Mr. Joe Bose, anything you'd like to add?
I've got nothing new to add as far as the cabins go, other than I'd like to thank, you know, Vance Green and Brent Fulmer and Kurt for doing all the research and stay on top of all this repairs that we have to do. And without them, we'd be in a world of trouble.
Very true.
That's all I got.
All right. Thank you, Joe. John Harris is not able to be with us today, so we will move on to Kathy Pierce. Kathy, what would you like to add?
I do not really have any updates on my areas, so that's it.
Okay. And last and certainly not least, Mr. Larry Clarkson.
I have to find the unmute button. I think just real quick to clarify, the three initial RV pads are all installed and complete, with the exception of spreading some gravel and preparing better driveway to get in and out. So that's not going to take a ton of effort and time to get done as soon as the weather clears. Update a little quickly on wildlife. I was able to trap the beaver that was fouling us up on pond number two and pond number three. So pond number three's level has come back to where it normally should be, filled up. I've been clearing a lot of snow. For certain members that have requested it and paid for it, and others to help out Kurt and the association getting access in and out and trying to rescue the association grader, get it down to an area where we can try to diagnose what in the world's going on with it. Let's see, what else? Maybe one point of clarification, we've all talked about and been concerned about people on the roads traveling possibly too fast during the summertime. That is even that much more important during the wintertime, because you cannot stop when you're going on the ice and the snow. I'm sure Jeff and Tina and Brent have run the bobsled run down Broad Hollow as I clear it. It leaves a compacted ice crust on the very bottom. Until the sun can get to that and melt it, you can drive on it. I drive in and out every day, but you can have a real hard time stopping if you get going very fast. So if anybody does travel to the ranch, I want to caution them to travel slowly. We are getting more and more people traveling, so those that have been out at the ranch and haven't seen another person on the road, that is a thing of the past. Chances are you are going to meet somebody coming around the next corner, so drive accordingly. I've got a couple other things just to get back with Jennifer on, but I don't think for everybody else, I think that's about all I have to report at this point. Any questions?
I have a question, Larry.
Yeah.
What happened to the beaver?
Well, I had great plans to trap it, and then I had researched and studied how to create a cool little skull mount that I thought we'd auction off at the annual meeting or something and do a pelt and everything. But actually, unfortunately, the way he got trapped, and I'll have to post a link maybe on the Facebook page. My trap's attached to a device, and this may sound brutal to some people, but when you trap beavers, you basically drown them. You trap them. They try to get away by swimming deeper. A locking device does not allow them to surface, and so they drown. When I retrieved that, this beaver had actually broken a steel carabiner that is rated for 250 pounds. It's something that you can't bend or I mean, it's tough steel. But this beaver had broken the carabiner and bent it. I mean, it's a locking chain link. So he escaped with my trap, but being under the ice was unable to get out. So he's somewhere in pond number two under the ice. But we know he's dead because he hasn't been back to recreate the damming. Next time somebody goes by pond number two, if we haven't got it completely cleaned up by then, there's a big silver maple tree right at the southwest corner of the dam at pond number two that had, I want to say, four fairly significant trunks, 10-inch to 1 foot in diameter trunks, and he had eaten three of those four fairly high up and cut those trees down. So he's a sizable big beaver and was able to break a 250-pound tensile strength carabiner. I'm going to try to do some magnet fishing and try to catch my trap. My hope is that being frozen in the pond, in the ice, there may be something still savable to memorialize the creature and have him there somewhere at the ranch for somebody to buy and put in their cabin or whatever. But I was really, really excited and then very disappointed when I retrieved my gear and thought, what the heck? I've caught Godzilla and he got away.
Larry, thank you for the report that is the stuff of nightmares. And
that was awesome.
I'm sorry I asked.
I'm not. Good story.
All right, that was great, Larry. Thanks for that.
That's great.
Larry, I do have one question for you. So we're planning to get the other two work camper spots, RV spots, finished in the spring. Is it possible for you to give Cindy no later than date? So she will have that information available to start going out. Because, again, a lot of these folks are planning months in advance. I mean, can you give her a date and say it will be done no later than, you know, June 1st or something like that so she can use that information?
Definitely, yeah. I would say I can have it done by April 1st.
Well, I'd rather undercommit and over deliver.
Yeah.
So
it's
say May 1st.
Yeah, easily May 1st. I mean, I could do it tomorrow. It's just a matter of I'd have to spend a day clearing snow in order to do it, and I'd rather not clear snow. Some people think that clearing snow may be just a quick and easy thing that you run a tractor through and brush off the snow. The amount of snow that we got at the ranch has been fairly significant. Just for example, to clear the snow, to retrieve the Deer Springs grader from, it was up in Pipeline Canyon at John Harris's lot. In order to just get to it and get it out of there, I spent 3 full days on the bulldozer clearing snow because you can't just make one pass. My blade on my bulldozer is 12 feet wide. When I make one pass, you literally have about 5 feet of cleared road because it pours back in. And so I've got to clear that multiple passes and keep pushing it out. Jeff and Tina Collins probably could send you a picture of their driveway when he made his passes with this little tractor. And then the next week, they were trapped inside of a channel. And there's no way, even with a small tractor, to move the piles that you've created to push it wider and wider to have room for the next snow and the next snow and the next snow. So quite a bit of Slide Canyon right now is a channel that may be stacked up 4 feet to 6 feet on the sides. And you'd think, well, God, the snow really wasn't that deep. But when it stacks up and then you stack it higher, it does get to be a bobsled luge run.
Got it. Thank you for that. Okay, Cindy, so you now know that you will have 3 work camper RV spots available no later than May 1st.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that commitment, Larry. I guess I owe you more cookies.
Yes.
Well, I didn't know you worked that cheap.
Me neither.
All right. Well, I think that's it for our formal agenda. So I will open it up to all of the members who are on our Zoom call today to see if anybody has anything that you would, any questions, anything that you would like to bring up during our meeting. Going.
Wait.
Wait, don't tell me.
I just got, I love that program. And I just got a word from Kevin and Cindy that they are planning on continuing to work camp into the first part of spring. And then, so if that should probably take us to May 1st when I'll plan to get some other work campers in. So thank you to everybody who's made commitments or contributed to this discussion.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Going. Gone. Thank you very much, everybody. And for those of you on the Water Committee, just be aware that we have a separate link for a new Zoom meeting that we will be going to immediately following this meeting. So I look forward to seeing everybody on the Water Committee on the Zoom meeting in the next few minutes.
Hey, Mike, next meeting, February 12th?
I'm sorry. What was it, Jennifer?
Second Saturday would be February 12th.
February 12th.
Is that Valentine's Day weekend? Is that a concern for anybody? I don't think so. So I think
hey,
I think we stick with that date because it is the second Saturday of the month, and we want to try to stick to that if at all possible. All right, so that's it. And again, Jennifer, that's the 12th.
Saturday the 12th, yep, 10 a.m.
Saturday the 12th at 10 a.m. Mountain Time.